Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. As you know, we've been in the book of Luke now for about 2.5 years, and I thought that the verses that we're using today help jumpstart us right into some thoughts concerning Father's Day. The book of Luke chapter 12, let's stand together, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? We'll stop there even though it's only a comma. Gentlemen, we are stewards of our home. And we need to make sure that we are faithful and wise stewards. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for godly fathers. Thank you for men who were willing to stand up, not only to follow, but also to lead when asked. And Lord, help us as men to be godly men, faithful men. But also, Lord, may we have faithful women willing to serve the Lord. And Lord, may this church be faithful in the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. May I say this, fathers or dads are not optional equipment. I tell you what, I'm glad for the fact that my dad was willing to be not only a father, but a dad to me. I do remember many occasions he would bring Bob and me over here, and we'd play football out here in the field, and he was the official quarterback for both sides. Sometimes we called him the artificial quarterback. But appreciate that, and you know, dads are there for you when you need them, and appreciate that. I remember when I was going off to the college, and I was standing outside Metro Airport over down in wherever that is, Romulus or that area, and he was telling me some last commands and last words of advice as I was standing there on the sidewalk trying to look cool. You know, I was going to turn 18 in a couple of days. I was going to be registering for the draft. And here I am with my sunglasses on. And I'm thinking, you know, man, I've made it. I'm leaving home. And my dad said to me, remember this, you represent the Covenant Baptist Church. And I thought, uh-oh. And then he said, remember this, you represent the Madonna family. And I thought, uh-oh. And then he said, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that, Dad. I don't know if you remember saying it, but I remember standing there on the sidewalk thinking to myself, I'm not so big after all. You know, it's good to have godly fathers. And if you had a godly father, you should thank the Lord for it. And some of you, you can say, I wish I'd had a godly father. If you're a man, you can be a godly man. And you can be an example. John Thompson writes concerning one of the major problems in our inner cities, but it's not just in our inner cities, it is in our suburbs also. And he wrote, quote, one of society's greatest issue and challenges is fatherless families, even absent when he lives in the same house. We need to be men who are interested in our families. We need to be grandparents that are interested in our kids. Luke 12:42 says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward?" A steward is a caretaker. And if you have been given children, your desire should be to take care of them. The world will destroy them if we are not careful. A steward is a custodian, and we need to be custodians of our children. We need to be administrators. A steward is one who actively directs affairs, is involved in their children's lives. And may I say, this message is not only for fathers, but it is also for mothers and grandparents and uncles and aunts and even our singles. We are to be faithful stewards. God has given us much. And one thing we can say in America, we are without excuse. The gospel is preached here bountifully. Luke 12, 48b says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms 127. Psalm 127. I'll read all five verses of this short psalm. It's called a Song of Degrees for Solomon, the third king of Israel. Some call the wisest man that ever walked on planet Earth. But notice what it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he that giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they, husband and wife, they labor in vain that build it." We need godly parents. We need godly families so we can have godly churches. We need godly churches so we can have a godly country. We need godly families in our society today. People who have put the Lord first. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Verse 3a says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Children are not a pain in, well, you know where. Children are a blessing of the Lord. Notice, "and the fruit of the womb is his reward." God has blessed us with children. I've often wondered how many children my wife and I would have had if after our second child, the doctor had not told Donna that for her best interests and for health issues, that it would be best if she didn't have any more children. And we know this, my wife, she never had a moment of labor. She's had two children. But she cannot in any way, shape, or form tell a woman what labor is about. I don't know if you're glad about that or not. You are glad now. You know, you've heard that story that if men had children, they'd only have one. Now, I don't believe that for a moment. I'll move along. But I've often wondered how many children my wife would have allowed me to have. A quiverful, the Bible says. I tell you what, children are special. But may I say this, strong men follow God. Now, I've seen those commercials for those cage fighters. I wouldn't get in one of those cages with those guys for no matter how much money you gave me. I mean, those guys are nuts. They just soon beat your face in as to look at you. And we say, well, they're strong. They may be strong physically, but are they strong spiritually? Strong men follow God. God gives purpose to life. May I say this? God gives purpose to life. There is a reason you're on planet Earth. And that is to worship the Lord. You're to serve Him. God is our strength to perform His purpose. He is our strength. God is our shield to protect us as we accomplish His purpose. Satan wants to distract us from what is really important. He wants to give us other things to do so that we are too busy to serve the Lord. Folks, if we are too busy to serve the Lord, we are simply too busy. The Lord should be a major part of our life. God grants us courage as we execute His purpose. It takes guts to stand up for God and for what He wants us to do. It's easy to go along with those who are the world's favorites, but we need to go along with what God would have us do. God gives us wisdom to obey His purpose. He doesn't just throw us out there and expect us to get the job done. I remember when I was working for the Arlington Public Schools, and I was on what they called a float crew. We took care of the schools where there were people who were absent. And one day, there wasn't anybody absent, and so they took us to Gunn Junior High School. I never thought that was a good name for a junior high school. But they took us to the Gunn Junior High School, and Bobby Allman, who was my foreman, he took me into the cafeteria. And all the tables had been put up. You know how tables at schools can fold up and so they can be moved out of the area. And he gave me a buffer. It was a Clark buffer. Maybe you've run a Clark floor machine. And he said, this is what you do. And he said, these are the triggers. And he said, you do this to go that way and you do this to go that way. And he walked away and he says, I'll be back in an hour. He says, please leave the walls up. And from that little bit, he expected me to buff the floor of this cafeteria at Gunn Junior High School. And I turned on the machine and I almost killed myself. I mean, that thing took off and the next thing I knew, it had gone all the way around me and I was on the cord. And that's not a good thing. And so, you know, the first thing you do when you do something stupid like that is to look around to see if anybody's laughing at you. But nobody was, and I untangled the machine from the cord, and I started again. And next thing I knew, I was going one way. The only problem was I couldn't get it to go the other way. See, a buffer has a natural direction it wants to go in because of the spinning of the pad. And the next thing I knew, I was over against the wall, and I'm thinking, well, how do I get away from the wall? About that time, another custodian walked in, and trying to hide his laughter, he says, here, let me give you a couple of tips on what to do. And I thank the Lord that that man walked in at that time. I may still be up against that wall. See, it's one thing to tell somebody, here's the machine, run it. It's another thing to show them how to do it. God has given us the Word of God so that we know how to live our lives. The problem is, man has become tired of the Word of God. And he has said, we are smarter than God. See, the problem is God. He wants it one way. There are all kinds of ways. No, there is one way into heaven. There is one way to please the Lord. And there is one way to live, and that's God's way. Otherwise, you are contrary to God. And that should scare you. God surrounds us with people to help to fulfill his purpose. I believe we need to spend as much time as possible with people who think the way we do. Now, if you live in the average life and you are on a job 35 or 40 hours a week out there with people, you have to be careful that you don't become part of their language society or way of talking, what they're watching on television, the movies they're seeing, the way they party. You have to be careful because they will pull you away from God. You need to be surrounding yourself with godly people. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And we need to agree with God. God's word helps us complete his purpose. God's word. This is a precious book. It's a special book. And it shouldn't sit in the back of your car all week long, so that you remember where it is on Sunday morning. It ought to be something that you treasure. It ought to be one of your prized possessions. Strong men know the Word of God. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to ask Cheryl to go to the organ, and she's going to be playing lightly. Did you catch that word, lightly? As I read to you verses from the Bible. Now, may I say this, that as I'm reading these verses, if any time you want to come and pray at the altar, you can do so. You say, Pastor Paul, this is a little bit different than normal. It is Father's Day, and dads, we are a little bit different. But strong men of God know the Word of God. I was talking the other day with my therapist, and he was telling me what church he goes to, and he says, you know, one thing I appreciate about some of you that are Protestants, he says, you know the Word of God better than we do. Pray for me as I witness to my therapist. I think it'd be great if I could, during that time, show him the Word of God in a more special way. But we should know the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, and you may begin to play softly. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 1:8-9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Colossians 3:2, Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 12. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:20. Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Titus 3, 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith Enoch had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9a. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we stand together? Verses that convict our hearts and our souls. To stand for our Lord. 401, only trust him, is our invitation song. We pray that the reading of the word has touched your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation time. And Lord, we know that your scripture will not return unto you void, but it will fulfill your purpose. We ask, Lord, that it would do so even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.